study today of Pachad Yitzchok for Pesach, we're going to begin with Maimer Mem Aleph. And what we're going to find is that what the Pasuk says, Mitzrayim Nosea Achreyem in Shmos Yudalid, the Mitzrayim are in hot pursuit of Klal Yisrael Ayam. And it says here in Lashon Yochid, Nosea Achreyem. What does it mean, Mitzrayim Nosea Achreyem? And it sounds a little bit like the Chachamim when they use the Lashon with regard to Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar in Shmos Yutes, the famous Chazal which Rashi quotes in his Perush Al Tor, Belev Echad Keish Echad, that Vayichan is in Lashon Yachid. How do we apply this in the case of Mitzrayim Nosei Achreyem in Lashon Yachid? And perhaps the answer is, we have a phrase, Lashon Chachamim Merape. That's a phrase that's based on a pasuk in Mishle. And as far as the Sias Mitzrayim, Alayam, Mitzrayim attacking or pursuing the Jewish people who have reached Yamsuf, it's Taka Belev Echad Ki'ish Echad. And it's interesting that the language that we want to apply here in Chazal is Belev Echad Ki'ish Echad. Notice that the Lev comes first, and then it says Ki'ish Echad. With regard to Bnei Yisrael and Vayichan, waiting for Matan Torah, there the Chazal used the opposite phrase, Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad. The Ish comes first and the Lev comes second. And why is there in the Chachamim's language this difference, as we said, Lashon Chachamim Merape? But perhaps we can explain this through a mashal. Imagine a person has a right hand and a left hand. We'll call it Reuven. Both hands belong to Reuven. And therefore, whatever the right hand does or what wants to do, the left hand also wants to do, because both these hands belong to one brain, one personality. However, if you have two different people, then you have to talk about the opposite. You have Reuven and you have Shimon. And let's say they both want the same thing. Then you would say that they partner together to achieve the same goal. So in the case of Reuven with his right hand and his left hand, you would start with the phrase Ish Echad. In the case of Reuven and Shimon, you would have to start with the phrase Lev Echad. And therefore, in the case of Yisrael, the nature of Klal Yisrael is that they're always constantly in a state of Achdus. That's the essence of Klal Yisrael. As a Klal, Knesset Yisrael is considered Koma Achas. They are one personality, one entity. And therefore, when they get together, Vayichan Yisrael, Chazal is going to speak about Ki Ish Echad. And therefore it's going to say, Vayichan Yisrael, Neged Hahar, and it's going to be Ish Echad, Belev Echad. It's like one Reuven with two hands. Each individual member of Klal Yisrael is like another hand. It's like the right hand and the left hand. They belong to one goof. And therefore it's Ish Echad, the Lev Echad that comes later indicates that they want together as a common desire to reach Har Sinai and to receive the Torah. But in the case of Mitzrayim by definition is Pirud. As the Pasuk says, and we say it every Friday night in Tilm Tzadi Beis, Yispardu Kol Paolei Oven. Or for example, a pasuk in Mishle, L'taiva Yevakesh Nifrad. When it comes to the nations of the world, we're talking about Paolei Oven, we're talking about loving Taiva. That desire for Taiva always is Nifrad. Everyone has their own Taiva. And therefore, if they are Nosim, Achar Yisrael, and the Lashon is Lashon Yachid, then it means they all want to destroy the Jewish people. They get together Lidavar Echad, for one common goal. And that's the Lev Echad that combines them together. And then it's Ki'ish Echad. So again, just to review very quickly, in the case of Klal Yisrael, it's Ish Echad, because Klal Yisrael, by their very definition, are Achdus, they're one unified, indivisible entity. And then you say, Belev Echad, they all wanted to achieve that same goal of receiving the Torah. In the case of Mitzrayim, which by definition is a nation of Pirud, therefore the Chiddush here is that it's going to be Belev Echad. It's not a Kish Echad, it's Belev Echad. They have the common goal of destroying the Jewish nation. And Ki'ish Echad means they go about it as if they were one, as if they were one individual, one entity. All right, we're going to take a look now at Maimar Membeis. Maimar Membeis is going to focus on the Pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel that says, Vavarata es Havoda Hazos. And he says the following, that every movement of the physical body, which represents the nefesh, and through those movements, man is mefanes atzmo klapi yotzro. That's called avodas Hashem. The nefesh motivates the guf, and every single move of the guf, which is directed towards service of its creator, is considered Avodas Hashem. And really, in truth, we don't find in the Torah any mitzvah, any individual mitzvah that can be called Avoda. The one exception is the night of Pesach. On the night of Pesach, the mitzvah Salayla is Avoda. It's called Avoda. Vavadita es Avoda Zos in Shmos Yud Gimel. And it means that this word avoda that's being used in context of the avodas leila pesach, this description as stam avoda that's given to the mitzvah of this laila, is really opening up for us a vision. He says, Al yedei Torah zeh shel stam avoda nitan l'mitzvos halayla zeh tamim anu b'kiyuman tam miyuchad. He says we taste a very unique taste, so to speak. He's using that as a metaphor to classify this mitzvah of Leila Pesach, Leila Skadish Chag, as a very unique mitzvah that's called avoda. And to express that tam, we need to really analyze this. So let's begin with the pasuk that opens up the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. The Rambam counts this as a mitzvah. It's the first mitzvah in Taryag, and we'll see soon that other Rishonim, the Ramban, is going to quote Rishonim that came before the Rambam that disagree with the Rambam. So again, we have here Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the mitzvah of Emunah, and it's got to be counted in Taryag. However, the Ramban, quoting the Bahag, says that no, we cannot count the mitzvah of Emunah in the Taryag. V'taimon hu ki mikevon she'etzem ha-musag mitzvah mechayev kehanocha kodemes mitziusa shal mitzaveh im keni efshol lahagdir es ha-muna b'mitziusa shal mitzvah. According to those who disagree with the Rambam, it's impossible to classify emunah as a mitzvah in Taryag, because emunah itself means to believe that there is a mitzvah. The concept of a mitzvah and the 613 mitzvahs that are counted presupposes or postulates the premise that there is a mitzvah. So you can't talk about a mitzvah unless a mitzvah, a commander, exists. Like if a soldier in the army has to fulfill a command, it must be that there's a commander commanding. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that at the end of the day, You have to believe in the reality, the existence of God. And that itself is part of the fulfillment of the will of God. Anything that God wants us to do, anytime we fulfill His, with a capital H, His will, that itself is called and defined as a mitzvah. And therefore, emunah is a mitzvah. But what we understand from both shittas, whether it's the Rambam or the Baha quoted by the Ramban, is in the approach of the nefesh, in the mahalach hanafshi, as he called it, when we talk about fulfilling the mitzvahs, mitzvahs emunah is the first. I mean, there's nothing that comes before emunah. Emunah comes before all the mitzvahs. And even according to the Rambam, even if you don't define emunah outside the pale as an introduction to the mitzvahs, but you incorporate it to the mitzvah, nevertheless, it's the first mitzvah. Without emunah, you cannot move beyond the spot. Obviously, according to the Rambam, we count it as a mitzvah because Hashem wants us to believe, but that mitzvah of belief is the precondition that kicks off and makes possible all the other mitzvahs. He says that Mishum ze lo nemra Dibros. It's very interesting that the first of the Aseret Dibros has its own style. It's formulated in a way that is unique in contrast to all the other Dibros. And the reason for that is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even though the Amuna does not come Ein Amuna Ba Mipnei Hatzivui Alea, so the reason why you don't find a Lashon Tzivui in the case of Emunah is simply because Emunah is not a result of a Tzivui. Emunah means I believe. If I believe, then I can accept a Tzivui. Nevertheless, it's included under Avodas Hashem. We find, for example, that an Eved, I've been talking about literally an Eved, he has Avdus of an Eved, and based on the Rav, meaning the master, because the Eved is already in the Shus of the Rav, he's already dominated in the domain of the Rav, and Yeshna Avodas Eved Anasis Aldas HaRav. Whatever servitude the Eved implements is a fulfillment of the Das, the will of his master, B'chdei Sh'al Yidei Avodazu Yikonei Se'eved L'Shus Ravo. To summarize the presentation of the Pachad Yitzchak, I would say the following. Even though the Bahag is unwilling to include Anochi Hashem Elokecha in Tayag Mitzvahs, it's not presented as a command, it's the introduction and the foundation of all the other commands, nevertheless it could be classified and should be classified as Avodah. Even though you would not define and classify Emunah as a mitzvah per se, according to that shita, nevertheless, it's considered Avodas Hashem. And the mashal of that is that in the case of an Eved, if he does implements the will of the Adon, of the Rav, in an act of servitude, that itself becomes what we call an Avodas Eved. And as a result, we find in Hilchas Avadim that an Eved can be Kanui L'Rabo through an act of servitude. And this you'll find in the Sugya in Kiddushin, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the famous Sugya of Kinyani, Kinyanim Eved, how are you Kona an Eved? And the answer is that if the Eved fulfills and implements the will of his master, that itself is considered Avodas Eved, and the Eved now becomes Koni L'Rabo. And in a parallel sort of way, you could say that just like an Eved who fulfills the will of his Adon is called, that action is called an Avodas Eved, so too with regard to Avodas Hashem, all the mitzvahs are considered Avoda, because a person is fulfilling them because he is in the Rishus, you know, he accepts the sovereign rulership of his Creator. And Muna, in that sense, is also considered an Avoda, because he's prepared to introduce himself to L'hachnesis Atzmo L'Rishus Yotzro. That's what Emunah is all about. Emunah means, I believe in God, and I accept the fact that God is my sovereign ruler. And if we take a look at what we call Divrei Chachamim, and in this case, we want to look at the pasuk Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim asher hotzesi osa me'eretz Mitzrayim, which is in Vayikra Chaf Hei. We can begin to appreciate that Yitzias Mitzrayim is an avoda in the same sense that Amuna is an avoda. In other words, Klal Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim, and to use the phrase of the Pachad Yitzchak, the Koma HaKlolis of Knesset Yisrael, as a result of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is exactly parallel. It's a mirror image of the individual's avoda to his Creator. And just like through Emunah, a person as an individual it becomes included in Avdus to Hashem by believing in God and accepting Hashem as his sovereign ruler, Klal Yisrael becomes a nation of Ovdei Hashem at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we mentioned the Reisha of the Pasuk, the Seif of the Pasuk is even more important. The Reisha says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And then it says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim Asher Hotzeisi Osam Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now it's the parallel here between Anochi, which is the first of the Aseres HaDibros, in which we accept through our Amunah the fact that Hashem, our Creator, is our sovereign ruler. So too, in the case of Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Yitzias Mitzrayim makes us into avadim. And therefore, the mitzvah Amunah, which is incumbent upon every individual member of Klal Yisrael, is always connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Anochi Hashem Elokech Shetzisich Mitzrayim, it's not coincidental, because in the same way that Amunah in the existence of God as a mitzaveh, as a commander in chief, so to speak, and at this point in time when a person has accepted upon himself Hashem as the commander, he still doesn't have specific commands. You know, there's no mitzvah yet being given. That's going to come later on. So the substance of his and the actual concrete fulfillment of the will of his master is not yet concretized. So too in Yitzias Mitzrayim, we don't know at this point of Yitzias Mitzrayim how to serve Hashem. That's going to happen later on when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And if we take this equation a little bit further, Kishem Shenafsho Binafshal Ovid Hashem, Cholekasi Avodas Hamuna Vishusi Atma, Shekain Hi Avoda Asos Begetter Ben Avoda, Kmochain Beklolius Knesset Nechleku Yitzis Raiman Torah Lishnayim. So if we understand on the individual level the difference between Emunah and the mitzvahs that come after Emunah, then in a parallel way we understand the difference between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. On an individual level, when the soul, the spirit of a person, accepts through Emunah his own personal status as an Ovid Hashem, yet the actual avoda he hasn't received yet, that's going to happen down the line. So too, with regard to all of Klal Yisrael, we have Yitzias Mitzrayim as step one. That's the emuna in which we become Avdei Hashem. We have gone through a period of an experience of freedom, of chairis, of redemption, in which we accepted the emuna, but now we need Matan Torah for the Eved, and we're all Avdei Hashem now, to concretize the specific content of that avoda. So, in the paradigm of avodas eved, you can have two pu'ulos of the eved that look identical externally, and yet internally, on a deeper level, they are fundamentally different. You can have the eved implementing his avoda and the will of his master as an act of kinyan in which he becomes an Eved. And down the line, the same action will be a fulfillment of his avdus. He's already achieved the shame Eved. So then in Pnimius, on a deeper level, we cannot compare the two. The first is an avodas Eved in which he's mocked himself as an Eved. and he acquires the Shem Eved. Now, having acquired the Shem Eved, he will implement the will of his master within the context of his Avdus. And getting back to our case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's something very different about fulfilling the mitzvahs halayla of Pesach than the general kira mitzvahs on any other day of the year. The mitzvahs halayla fundamentally place us, or machnes us, they are the conduit through which we acquire the Shem Eved. That's the avoda of this night of the 15th of Nisan. Machnisim es atzma l'shus adon. These mitzvahs tonight are a maisa kinyan in which we have a chalu Shem Eved. We become avodim. The acquisition of the Shem Eved, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that happens tonight on the night of Leil Pesach. And for the rest of the year, subsequently, that's Kiyum HaMitzvah. So tonight, we are really being crowned with all, with this new status that we don't, nothing parallels it in regard to the other mitzvahs. The other mitzvahs don't engender a new status. The mitzvahs tonight are called Avoda. As it says, V'avadatem es Avoda Azos. Of course, the Rosh is going to say, Ma Avoda Azos Lachem. But we have the Avoda tonight, and that Avoda is different than any other particular mitzvah the whole year round, because this Avoda is Machnis. It gives us the status of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avoda. We become Avodim through the Avoda of this night. Now that happens every single Pesach, every single Leil Tesvav, during the, for all eternity. And this deeper insight into the nature of the mitzvahs halayla of Leil Pesach would give us an understanding of the concept of hachbodas halev. We find with regard to Paro that vayachbed Hashem eslev Paro. Correct? I don't have the pasuk right here in front of me, but it's a pasuk that repeats itself in different forms throughout the Parshias and Shmos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Achbodas HaLev, in the case of Paro, is the source for our understanding of Siluk HaBechira, in which Paro's freedom of choice is removed. Nimnahu Bein Mareches Ha'onshim shalhan hagoso yisparach. Amongst the various punishments, one particular punishment is to remove a person's freedom of choice, and that we see in the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel when he discusses Vayachbed Hashem eslev Paro. And what we need to explain is that why is it that of all different possible ways in which we would, or possible scenarios and historical events in which we would find this phenomenon of the lack, removing someone's Bechira Chofshis, we find it dafka with regard to Paro. And the answer is because without Emuna, there is no Mitzvah. And without Bechira, there is no Mitzvah. So the mitzvah hamuna of belief, which is explicit in the pasuk "Anochi Hashem Elokecha," is the only mitzvah that is not formulated in a language of a mandate of a tzivui. It cannot be a tzivui because without amuna, there's no mitzvah. The amuna is the introduction to a mitzvah, so the amuna cannot be a mitzvah in and of itself. Now the punishment, which is meant to nullify this, what Paro is basically trying to do is, he's trying to place a barrier that would prevent Klal Yisrael from Anochi Hashem Elokecha, from leaving Avdus to Paro and accepting Arvdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, as we said before, the Avdus itself is the Amuna. And therefore, basically, we could say that the Mahalach of Paro is
is to undermine emuna. That's what he's trying to block. Now, mida keneged mida, his punishment is going to be the bittul of the essence of this emuna. Emuna means that a man has a freedom of choice. The punishment for being anti-emuna is going to be silak habechira, the removal of freedom of choice. All of emuna really is the ability of man to make a freedom to make a free choice. When Paro creates a blockage to remove our ability to make the freedom of choice, it means that we are not able to function under the capacity as a ben tzivui to accept the mandate of Hashem. So as a result of Paro's being mishaved us and not allowing us to reach the freedom of being an Eved Hashem, he himself is going to be denied the ability to make a free choice. That's the Mida Keneged Mida. Let's just read the language of the Pachad Yitzchak. He says, Onesh HaMevatla, which means the punishment of he who undermines Emunah, who behetem lemahusa shal mitzvah zu, the Onesh is a reflection of the essence of this mitzvah Emunah. Dahainu, what does this mean? Shehu nase lemufka migeder atzivui bichlal. As a result of being mevatel Emunah, the individual who is now being robbed of his emuna is mufka, meaning he's completely undermined is the possibility of a tzivui, of being a ben tzivui. And that's the omek miyuchad sheyesh ba'onesh shel siluk habechira avor bitul inyan hamuna. So you have on the one side of the equation bitul hamuna, and that's really that's personified by Paro, who wants to remove our emuna, meaning our ability to become an Eved Hashem. And on the other side of the equation of this bitul emuna, we have siluk habechira. Siluk habechira is basically undermining a person's status as a ben tzivui. And that status of ben tzivui is a result of emuna. So since Paro is his nagdus to that mitzvah which would allow us to become, facilitate our becoming a ben tzivui, the shorish, the real root of his isnagdus to the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Mitzrayim is that Paro says, you're not allowed, we're not allowing you to go out of Mitzrayim, and therefore he's preventing Klal Yisrael from becoming Avodim Tashem, fulfilling Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, Paro, not coincidentally, is the source for this understanding that the onesh of siluk bechira is one of the various onshin. There cannot be a mitzvah without a mitzvah. Emuna means believing in a mitzvah. And once we believe that there's a mitzvah, there could be a mitzvah. But to believe that we could become a mitzvah only makes sense if there's bechira. And therefore, by definition, we have here a chain of A, B, and C, and they're all interdependent. You have a mitzvah of emuna that there is a mitzvah. So that's the mitzvah of emuna, and then number two, there's a mitzvah. And if there's a mitzvah, then we have a mitzvah. We become a mitzvah because we believe in a mitzvah. And number three, to be a mitzvah, you have to have bechira chavshis. So in effect, A equals B equals C, and therefore the mitzvah of emuna really is essentially a predicated on and leads to the belief in Bechira and the ability to be Bechira. And therefore, Paro, insofar as he is Mevatel, he represents the negation of Emuna, not allowing us to believe that Hashem is the Mitzaveh and that we are committed to his, capital H, his Tzivuyim, and therefore we can be a Mitzuveh. Paro, in a sense, is robbing us of the possibility of being a mitzvah. By robbing us of emuna, he is blocking us from being a mitzvah, because you can only be a mitzvah if there's a mitzvah. And basically, therefore, we don't have Bechira Chafshis. If we cannot accept our status as a mitzvah because Emunah was completely nulled and voided by Paro, we don't have Bechira. And therefore, the Midah Keneged Midah is that Paro is going to suffer the punishment of Siluk Emunah. It's not of Siluk Bechira. It's not coincidental that of all the different, let's say, Rishoyim or evildoers over the course of history, we find that this particular punishment of Siluk HaBechira expresses itself in Paro and only in Paro. He is singled out. That's not coincidental because he represents the Hisnagdus to the mitzvah of Emunah, of believing in a mitzvah and accepting our status as a mitzvah that he won't let us do. He won't let us go out of Mitzrayim and become mitzvim. And if we cannot have Emunah, we can't be a mitzvah, we basically have no freedom of choice. He robs us of freedom of choice. He too will suffer a Siluk HaBechira. And when we speak about the school of Bechira from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not coincidental, because with Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a school of Bechira. Before we enter in to the Bris HaTorah, we already have Bechira. We already see ourselves with Yetzias Mitzrayim as having Bechira, as being free. He says, Ki al kein roim anachnu sha'af al pisha mishpotim asher bedini mominus benom l'chaver in his galulon in parashas mishpotim ar sinai lachem at aser sadivus mikom kom yeshno b'chol shemish aloch ha'achas sher makori hi lo b'parashas mishpotim kim b'ma'or shal tzius to try him sharei kach shaninu behilchos po'alim. And here it's interesting that he refers to a sugi b'ma kamakuf Tezayin Amid Beis, that Paul Yochel Latzim Afilu B'chatzi Yom Shenemar Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avodim Avodayhem Asher Otzisi Osam Me'artzim Sfari Avodayhem V'lo Avodim L'Avodim. In other words, the ability of a Poel to the freedom of a Poel to terminate his status as a Poel even in the middle of the day is derived from Yitzias Mitzrayim, when a person in a sense ties up himself or his body in front of another human being. He is really, through that commitment, undermining the concept of Chiras and Bechira. And the concept of Chiras and Bechira emerges with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that even though all the Mishpatim and Dinim Avinus are only given in Parshas Mishpatim after Matan Torah, after our Sinai, nevertheless, there's one halacha that we derive for all of posterity and all of eternity, not from Parshas Mishpatim, but back from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, that a poel yochel lachzor bo afilu bechatzi ayom, because that concept is profoundly embedded in the Yetzias Mitzrayim experience, which is an experience of Bechira, in which we can now become Ovdei Hashem through the Aramuna, that there is a Mitzava, we become Mitzuva, which means we now have freedom of choice. It was that freedom of choice that Paro denied us. And when a poel commits himself and his body to another human being, the halacha says that's not an absolute commitment, but rather yochel lachzor bo, he can terminate that commitment. And why is that so? Well, that's because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hachidush b'pgam hazeh, hu ki lo rak shu omei benigu l'torah mitzvah kibal bar sinai l'hu machzir es bailov l'mitzrayim. In other words, by entering into this relationship of a poel, if it were that he couldn't be chozer bo, and he would therefore be forfeiting his freedom, his chayrus, his bechira, that would be a pagam, not only in the content and the substance of mitzvahs that were given in our Sinai from Kabbalah Satorah V'Elech, but it would bring us back to the state of being owned as avodim in Mitzrayim and being denied the possibility of bechira chafshis. And therefore, the koach ha-bechira The power of man to be free is inherent in Yetzias Mitzrayim. He writes, Lumat silu koach habechira shel melech Mitzrayim, in contrast to the program and the plan of Paro in Mitzrayim to remove our bechira, the Torah says, Avodayhem, asher tziso somehetz Mitzrayim, Avodayhem v'lo avodim l'avodim. The scheme and the plan of Paro is undermined through the redemption of Egypt. We become absolutely free. We no longer are committed to another human being in a way that forfeits our freedom. We are guaranteed absolute freedom. And therefore the halacha of Paul Yochalachzer Memtzayom is rooted in Yetzias Mitzrayim before the bris of Matan Torah. And this leads us to Maimer Mem Gimel. In Maimer Mem Gimel, the Pachad Yitzchak is focusing on the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Vaschanon. And from this Pasuk we derive a mitzvah say of Kabbalas Ol Malchu Shamayim. And what we'd like to understand is Dafka Mitzvah Zu Nemra B'toch Kruz Shel Hashma. Why is it Shema Yisrael? Why is the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim formulated and framed within the listening of Shema Yisrael? We don't find this in other mitzvahs. We don't find any mitzvah other than this one of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim that has an introduction of Shema Yisrael. It doesn't say Shema Yisrael and put on tzitzis. It doesn't say Shema Yisrael and put on tefillin. Shema Yisrael and blow the shofar. And in order to understand this, let's go back to the halacha, which is derived by the Gemara Kiddushim, Chaf Beis Amid Beis, from the fact that back in Har Sinai, we accepted our Avdus Tashem. And the Gemara Kiddushim wants to derive from that, since we heard in Har Sinai, Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, the case of the Eved, who refuses to go free, wants to remain in the state of Avdus, then we bore his ear, that's called Ritzias HaOzen, and why? Because that's the same Ozen that heard at Har Sinai, Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, now he wants to acquire an Adon Li Atzmo. And the obvious question is, that in Yin Zeh, this whole subject matter of accepting an Eved and not accepting an Adon and a state of Avdus and not accepting the mitzvahs, you could apply that really to every single Aver in the Torah. Every Aver in the Torah really is a violation of the Ozen Sheshom al Har Sinai. Whatever we heard at Har Sinai, don't do this and don't do that, now we violate it. So we've really, in a sense, undermined the Ozen HaShomas. Maybe we should have a Ritzia every single time we violate an Avera. Why is it only in this case of the Eved who wants to persist in his state of Avdus? And we're going to quote Rabbeinu Yonah in his Shari Tshuva, Shar Sheni, about the Milas HaOzen, what's unique about listening. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that even though a Suma, Rachman Al-Tzlan, a blind person, is Choshev Kimeis, nevertheless, a cheresh is nosein lo dmei kulo. You have to pay the full value if you cause a person deafness. That's the case of chovel b'chavero. And that's a sugi baba kama pehei. I mean, suma chashu kines is a gemara nedarim. But if a person blinds someone, rachmanu litzlan, he only pays dmei eno. And there's a fundamental difference between the case of causing deafness and causing blindness as far as the halachas of chovel and the compensation thereof. In the case of chovel b'chavero, he pays according to mashashomin es hanechbal ki eved. We evaluate a person who's healthy, this individual is the victim of a chavola. Had he been healthy before the injury, how much would he be worth on the market as an Eved? And how much as a result of the Chabbalah has he been devaluated? The difference between the two has to be paid by the chovel. In the case of an ozen, which is the, how should we say, the machshir, it's the introduction, it's the prerequisite for making a person into an eved, because a person can only serve his adon if he hears the command. In the case of an ozen, therefore, his value as an eved is zilch. It's basically naught. The ear is, and the sense of hearing is so unique in comparing to all other parts of the body and all other senses. Every sense is both passive or receptive and active. Right? For example, if you take the yad, the yad can be receptive, and you can impact on the yad feels, but at the same time, the yad has an active element, and it could be poel on something else. It can have an impact on something else. The peh also takes in, and also can take out. And even in the case of the ayin, he says that the ayin machnisa roshim motzio l'toch achutz mashanase bifnim. The unique nature of the ozen, however, in contrast, is that it's purely passive. It receives. And if a person hears something, he's mispoil, it has an impact on him. But there's no way that the power of hearing can become an active power that can have an impact on something external. What is avdus? To be a slave means to be totally dependent on another person. Having nothing of his own, the eved is giving it all up. His essence is really that the bailim force him to do whatever they want him to do. He has to be available on an ongoing, continuous basis to be influenced and impacted by someone other than himself in a very receptive and passive way. Therefore, if a person is chovel bishmiya biozen, then basically he's being pogea in avdus. That's what the chush hashmiya, that's what the sense of hearing is all about. It's really avdus. It's where others have an impact on you because you passively receive those sounds. And therefore, when a person violates Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, and he says, I want to remain as an eved. I don't want to fulfill the tzivui of Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, that we are avadim to Hashem. That engenders a ritzias ozen, because the ozen, as we said before, represents the avdus. The ozen, in this case, represents the fact that Klal Yisrael avdi Hashem. That sense of hearing is the power that is most fitting or most similar to avdus and its very substance in the nefesh. And therefore, when a person violates ki libnei Yisrael avadim, he will be an eved nirtza. We're going to bore a hole in his ear. The ozen sheshoma al har Sinai ki eved libnei Yisrael avadim. Halach v'kana li'atzmo is tirtza, that eved, that adon, that he wants as his ongoing master, that's a violation. And therefore his ear, his ozen, is nirtza. And if we get back to our original question, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of accepting the one God, of Kabbalas Omal Chushamayim, we turn first and foremost to the Chush of Shmia, because accepting Omal Chushamayim means making ourselves into an Eved. And the very unique Kli, if you will, the very unique sense in the body that is appropriate for that matzav nefesh of accepting, of receiving, of committing, is the ozen. And therefore, hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, Kabbalas Omach Shema Yachroza, Ala Yosenu Avadim, Lemelech HaKovan. We declare through Shema Yisrael, we are your Avadim. And the Eved is the Eved who has an ozen. Without the ozen, he's not worth anything. Is chirsho nosin l'nekulo, you pay the exact full amount that he could be sold on the market as an Eved. And now we become avodim through this power of shmi of ozen, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I don't know, Rabosai, if we have time for Maimar Memdalet. It's quite a long, complicated Maimar. But what I would like to do with regard to Maimar Memdalet is to try to at least touch perhaps a little bit of an introduction. And we have to start with a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi in Perek Lamiches. Zecharna es asher hishalachti lefanecha v'atov beinecha asisi. And perhaps this pasuk in Tanakh is going to shed a light on the concept of smichus geula l'tfila, which is formulated by the sugya in Brachas Daf Yudam in Beis. And this zecharno es asher salachti l'fanecha is really a heartfelt supplication of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the great Chizkiyahu HaMelech. V'atov beinecha asisi. The Chachamim say that this pasuk of Zecharno es asher salachti lufanecha and Vatov beinecha asisi is the source for smichus geula l'tfila. And it's not clear why is smichus geula l'tfila called by the name of Hatov beinecha. And that's it. Tov beinecha can refer to so many different things. You know, I implemented the good in your eyes, Hashem, whatever you think is the right thing. And since we talk about the Kedusha Yom of Pesach as Geula, I mean, that's the essence of the day is Geula, perhaps we can understand why Smichos Geula L'tfila is Hatov beinecha Asisi. And by way of introduction, and we've spoken in the past about the difference between mitzvah and rishus, the latter is derived from b'chol drachei da'ehu. Every mitzvah has a definite definition, a certain time, the obligation is clear, it's a fulfillment by definition of the will of Hashem, that's called a mitzvah. In contrast, there's something called a rishus, which if done l'shem shamayim, can become a mitzvah. And when we speak about avdus Hashem, we talk about, in a sense, the building and the roof on top of the building, if you could use that mashal. The building, the structure itself, the etzem habayis, as he calls it, is the avodas ha-mitzvah. Those mitzvahs that are specified, and we'll call him 612. Then we have b'chol drachecha da'ehu, which means, in a general sense, that's the roof on top of the basic structure, and that's the avoda of taking a rishus and converting it, upgrading it into a kiyum mitzvah. And when we speak about divrei rishus or b'chol drachecha da'ehu, the Yesod HaDavar, really fundamentally what we're saying is that every single action, every dimension of human life comes under the category of Ratzon Hashem. There's nothing that's excluded, that's parva, that's totally neutral. There's nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't care less about. Everything can be brought into Ratzon Hashem. That's what it means, Divrei Rishus, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu. Chazal speak about it when they say, Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim, which is a statement in the Mishnah in Avos in the second Perek, and that Kol Ma'asecha has that inner, you know, if you hear the sound of it, it has that inner meaning of taking an action which in and of itself is Rishus, but doing it L'Shem Shamayim, and transforming the nature of the action. You don't need a chovas maisa, chovas asiya, and then to say, well, you're obligated to do it, l'shem shemayim. That's simple. We're talking about something that's outside the realm of an absolute chova, hamutelas shel asiya, and l'shem shemayim here means that a dvar rishus can be done l'shem shemayim. And the relationship of the thing is the following. In the case of a dvar rishus, there's a lack of clarity, if you will, at the moment that the action is implemented. B'shas maisa, we don't know. Is this yes, Ratzon Hashem? Is it not Ratzon Hashem? In the case of something that's prohibited, or something that we're enjoined to fulfill, we can know automatically, in its moment exactly whether it violates the Ratzon Hashem in the case of an Isur or it fulfills the Ratzon Hashem in the case of a mitzvah. So take a viad, we have, but Rishus is just the opposite. The relationship between the action and Ratzon Hashem is, shall we say, totally viomed, it's up in the air, it's undefined. And it really boils down to the following. What will determine whether a Dvar Rishus is considered a mitzvah and it's Ratzon Hashem or not? And the answer is that if this miso, if this energy force is done l'tzorach shamayim, then it is a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. If it won't be in any way serving to glorify Hashem or fulfill His will, if it's not a tzorach shamayim, then by definition it's against the Ratzon Hashem. So when we do all our actions and we have to do them l'shem shamayim, what we're really establishing is that the action per se has to be upgraded to the status of a mitzvah of Ratzon Hashem. We'll read the last two sentences in the introduction of the Pachad Yitzchak to Maimar Mem Dalet, and we hope, if Yitzchak Hashem, to come back to this in the near future if Hashem gives us the ability to do so. He writes, Chovas asiyas kol ha-maisim l'shem shemayim yonekes hi mishlilas ha-shetach Hachalak bein tchum atuma l'tchum hakdusha. There's, so to speak, a no man's land, a twilight zone that separates between tuma on the one hand and kedusha on the other. Mitziuso shel shetach chalak hazeh haita machrezev yomeret ki im amnam mishubad hu anivra lavodat yotzor mikol makom ein ze ela begeder shibud asher michutz lemilui drishato shel shibud ze harei hamishubad nimtza hu b'rishus atzmo v'chi hashetach hachalak bein tumas hakdusha bein hatuma v'hakdusha mokom aroi la'amidoso shel hanivra Birshus Atzmo. We analyze the deeper meaning of the dictum of the Mishnah in Avos Kol Ma'asecha Yihyu L'Shem Shamayim. What we're really doing is we're undermining that twilight zone that we said that separates between the territory of Tuma and the territory of Kedusha. The existence of that no man's land that separates the two is saying that, you know what, there's a shibud. There are areas that are clearly demarked. We call them Tuma and Kedusha. And within the confines of those areas, man is Meshubad. But then in between those two confined areas, there's a whole territory in which man is not Meshubad at all. He's Bershus Atzmo. It's Parva. He's a free agent. You know, do what he likes. But comes along the Mishnah and says, no. Kol Ma'asecha Yihyu L'Shem Shamayim, which means negate this area, this shetach, this twilight zone that separates Tuma on the one hand and Kedusha on the other hand, and basically man is Meshubat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that twilight zone, which logically we would anticipate is the area in which man is Birshus Atzmo, he's not in Tuma, he's not in Kedusha, there's no Isur, there's no Mitzvah, he's really a free agent. We negate this free area and this twilight zone, as we call it, the no man's land, by declaring that a nivra is mishubad liavodas yotzo, period. And it's absolute and all-inclusive. We are an eved to our Creator. And therefore, every single area comes under that concept of an eved liyotzo, in the words of the Pachad Yitzchak, Shlilat hashetach hazeh machrezet v'yomer ki eina nivra mishubad lavodas yotzro elahu eved liyotzro. Don't look at the shibud, but look at the person himself and his essence. Existentially, he is an eved, and therefore, since ein kinyan li eved below rabo, hari mufka legamrei mitzius shorishus atzmo. If you're talking about shibudim, you could say, okay, my shibudim are in this area, call it X. My shibudim in that area, Y. But above and beyond those two areas, there are no shibudim. No. Kol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim. It's not shibudim, my friend. It is a kinyan avdus. Kinyan avdus means you are an eved liyotzro, to your yotzer. It means the kinyan avdus completely excludes any area in the existence of any area that's Bishus Atzmo. There is no man's land between Tuma and Kedusha. That would make sense for Shibudim, but we're talking about Avdus. Avdus means you are in your very essence an Eved, and that undermines the entire concept of Divrei Rishus. Everything comes under you, Ma'asechel Shem Shemayim. Everything can be brought under the kiyum of Ritzon Hashem. That's the ultimate obligation. That's the expression of our essence as Avdei Hashem. So, Mirtz Hashem, we want to continue with this concept of B'chol Drachecha Ta'eyu as we expand it and we get deeper and deeper into Maimar Mem Dalid. Hashem should give us the ability to do so in the near future. That's what we're hoping for.